Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sam Cook punting from his 15-yard line. To our left is Ray McLeod, backpedaling all the way to the 17. He's hit. The ball comes loose, and the Ravens have recovered. It is picked up by Anthony Levine Sr., the fourth turnover of this first quarter, two committed by each squad.
Presented by Chafin Luhana, injury law firm doing good by doing right. One of those follies and screw-ups last night by the Steelers that kept the Ravens in the game and allowed them to keep it close the whole way through. Who the hell, though? That's Kenny Albert on Westwood One. Who actually, when guys put senior on the back of their jersey, that's the first time I've ever heard a broadcaster refer to them that way. Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr., when they're both playing together, I get that. Anthony Levine Sr.? Who said, like, I've never heard that before.
Remember Titus Young when he was, I think, the first player to do it, and people kind of laughed at it because he was such like a immature player. I want to say, didn't people like
Steve Smith Senior? But I don't think the announcers called him Steve Smith Senior.
When I hear Senior on like a football broadcast, I think, why is that old guy playing?
Bruce Gradkowski with us. Bruce, does your dad go by Bruce Gradkowski Senior?
Well, when he puts ice in his wine, he does, because Bruce Gradkowski Jr. doesn't. So
why didn't you go by Bruce Gradkowski Jr.?
I don't know. I mean, it's on my license and stuff. I go by it, but not officially football-wise, you know?
Now, if your old man had played in the NFL.
I might have to.
Yeah.
I might have had.
How close did he get? How close did he get in his football dreams, in his football journey through life, Bruce?
Yeah, so I was going to tell you. So the big guy, though, he went to Keystone Oaks High School. Mm-hmm. He was a quarterback early on, but he was big. He's a big dude. He's like 6'3". So they threw him on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And then he went to a military prep school for a year after senior year. And at that prep school, Indiana State University offered him a full ride, and his brother, Mark Gradkowski, who was a senior in high school still. So they would go into college together and tear it up. And my dad at the time, his dad was sick, living in Pittsburgh. My dad and my mom met high school, you know, high school sweethearts, all that. My dad already had a job at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in the union. So at that time, that's a good job.
Yep.
And, you know, he told his brother, listen, Mark, you go to college. I'm going to stay back home, take care of dad.
Wow.
Family.
What a legend. Yeah.
That's
an altruistic
right
guy.
There.
He truly,
Pony, you think you have that kind of altruism in you?
No, I don't.
just
being honest.
Sure. Just making sure. I asked for a reason.
Whatever became of Mark Gradkowski, the football player?
So Mark went up. He had a great career in Indiana State and ripped it up. He played with Tunchokin.
Oh, damn.
And, so they played together. And then Mark, I think he had, like, a workout with the Cowboys or something like that. But nothing panned out. He's a smaller dude. He's smaller than my dad. He's about 6 foot, 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
But just a tough sucker. You know, my Uncle Mark's a BSer, though. My dad's a pure, genuine guy.
Yeah.
And my Uncle Mark's the BSer that he could talk the game.
Gotcha. What happened with the wide receivers yesterday? I look at Ben. I thought Ben played, actually, other than that interception, I thought Ben played a pretty good game. What the heck was going on with those drops?
I mean, man, it's just a lack of concentration sometimes. You know, I mean, you know, I think Deontay Johnson on that little quick slant, down by the tight red zone, he catches that, he probably scores. I don't think he gets tackled there. So, you know, you're probably thinking of that. You're thinking, oh, let me catch and get upfield. Let me catch and make this move. Let me catch. So you're not fully focused on first secure the catch, then do the next thing. And I just thought that came into play, you know, and just a lack of concentration. And you kind of just saw it throughout the game.
It was contagious.
Yeah.
Were they getting nervous that Humphrey was back there with that punch move? I feel like that was on their minds too.
Well, I mean, yeah, possibly. But I just think, too, like not only the drops, but, you know, everywhere on the field is more of a – they kind of had this game was honestly the best thing that could have happened to the Steelers because it was sloppy. It feels like a loss. You're not really – I mean, you're happy you won, but you're kind of like, oh, that film's going to be bad. Man, we got to improve. And Tomlin, he played it up perfectly, man, talking about it on the media and stuff because that's what they need. You know, the great thing about the Steelers, they're a team that finds a way to win. It doesn't have to be pretty. They did that yesterday. But there's things they have to clean up. Red zone, stopping the run. You know, on third and nine at the end of the half, they give up that long run down to the 3-4 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And just things like that. And then, of course, turning the football over. I mean, that one to Ben, it's fourth down. He's trying to kind of buy some time. And you kind of have to throw it up, you know, I mean, in that situation. So that's not the worst thing that could have happened. But, man, I mean, they got fortunate with RG3 gift wrapping a few early Christmas presents with the fumble early on. And then the pick six to Joe Hayden. So, you know, I'd be sending RG3 a few Christmas gifts.
Mm.
Bruce, you know Ben pretty well. You've shared a quarterback room. You've been around the guy a lot. Whenever I see a game like he played yesterday, and I hear him talk about how he's got to be more accurate when a big narrative is about the drops, I do not believe him saying – I do not believe that he feels he needs to be more accurate with 1 ounce of my being. I think that is a clear message. That's him doing the fake falling on the sword there because he knows his dudes dropped a ton of passes that were right on the money, and he just doesn't want to call them out. Did you have the same reaction when he said he needed to be more
accurate? I actually
thought
that was good leadership.
No, I did too, like, but I can't imagine that he's going over to his wide receivers this coming week and actually saying, hey, guys, sorry I wasn't more accurate. He's probably and correctly saying, how about you don't drop all of my passes this week?
Well, no, I think Ben's being truthful to that because, I mean, that quick out to Eric Ebron in the tight red zone, he throws it kind of back hip where if he leads Eric Ebron on his upfield shoulder, he might score on that. So I do think Ben realizes, like, look, I got to help you guys out a little bit more. I'll give you better balls. Like, I mean, there's no excuse. If it hits your hands, you have to catch it. But I think both have to take ownership of it. You know, Ben's saying, look, I got to hit you in the face mask. Hey, I got to throw a better ball. And with the understanding, too, Deontay Johnson, these guys, they have to take ownership. Like, no, man, if it hits my hands, if it's around me, I have to catch it. So I do. I think it's good leadership on Ben's part to step up that way and point it out like that. You know, and, Chris, I was kind of wondering why you were in a good mood today, and I just remembered you bet the Ravens, so probably won some pretty nice cash.
I bet small amounts. I'm not a high roller like Filippone or especially like Craig. But, you know, I liked my payout yesterday. Let's
Bruce, I would have agreed with what you said there, maybe agreed with what you said there about how, hey, you know, this humbles the team. It's not coming easy. Your record is 11-0, but, you know, now you don't think you're just going to roll out of bed and beat a bad team, that might be a wake-up call. But the reason why I can't bring myself to that is because they lost one of their best players because they couldn't put the Ravens away. If they're up big, if they're up 17 points or 21 points in the fourth quarter, Dupree's not on the field with 5 minutes left. And I just think that's such a big injury for them. Do you disagree?
Look, it is. It's a big injury. And I feel for Bud Dupree because he's been having a good year. You could tell he's just really comfortable in that system. They're playing well as a defense together. So it stinks, man. It really does. You can't look at it that way because, look, it's the game of football and these things happen. It's unfortunate, but you never know. I mean, you don't have a ton of backups on your team as well. So it's not like you could take everyone out, even if you're up with 5 minutes left in the game. And so who knows? I mean, he still could have been in there. I mean, you just never know. It just stinks for Bud. I hate seeing that because of how well he's been playing. But I also thought Tomlin's comment was pretty cool when he was talking about T.J. Watt, you know, because someone asked him if that'll take away from T.J. Watt's production. And he's like, man, T.J. Watt's not looking for anyone else but himself to get some production. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Bruce, going forward for this team, you said this was a good, you know, that this was, like, useful for them as far as just putting bad film out there to sort of keep them grounded. Do you get the sense that they are going to play well enough that they somehow get through this next set of the schedule, these next even three games, unscathed?
Unscathed as far as they don't lose, you think?
Wins and losses. Are they going to get to 14? Are they going to get to the Indianapolis game 14-0? I want to go three games here.
Honestly, that's a tough one. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of a little bit concerned about Washington because of the factor of the defensive front. I feel like they're a good, pretty solid defense. Can they get after the quarterback? And then you look at the Bills. I mean, the Bills are a good, solid football team. If Josh Allen, you know, the thing with the Steelers, they can do good against a guy like Josh Allen, but also if Josh Allen extends plays, that's a scary moment. You know, you have to bottle them up. But on the other side, Josh Allen could force a few to you. So you could get turnovers in that game. So that Bills game is kind of like, I could see that really going either way. And then it's the Colts. It's like, man, the Colts, their defense tough. They're disciplined. And then it's like, what are you going to get from Phillip Rivers, though? So I feel like with the remaining schedule, honestly, it's how do the quarterbacks play? You know, Alex Smith, he's not forcing a lot of throws downfield. You know, he's not taking chances, but that's also they're not having a lot of explosive plays. So can the Steelers just, you know, stop the run, make Alex Smith make those throws downfield?
Man, he's made a lot of money checking the ball down, hasn't he? Holy crap. Has that guy made a ton of money just dinking and dunking, making those 5 to 7 yard passes, huh, Bruce?
You know, he plays smart football. You're right. I mean, last game on Thanksgiving, it was just one after the next. I mean, he had guys open downfield. He was just getting out to his check down pretty quick. And look, as a coach, I mean, you like it initially because he's being smart. He's taking care of the football. But at times, you have to push the envelope downfield. So we'll see. I mean, but you got to have a lot of appreciation for what Alex Smith has brought, you know, through his career.
I want to know from you, we're talking to Bruce Gradkowski, Roethlisberger now 4 straight games without a sack, which is incredible based on how much he used to get hit early in his career. Do you think that's more a testament to the way the offensive line is blocked for him, or is it more about what Big Ben does now in this offense? And don't give me the answer, well, it's a combination of both.
You caught me. I'm going to say it's 75% Ben. And, you know, since you can't let me say it's a – because it's always a combination of both. But Ben understands how to do it. He understands how to get the ball out of his hands. Now he's taking advantage of the quick passing game, the screens outside his wide receivers, finding ways to get the ball quick out of his hands because that's an extension of the running game. Everyone wants to talk about the running game, not going that. I thought one of the biggest plays in the game, Ben drops back. He hits Benny Snow on a check down over the ball, and he runs for how many yards? I mean, those are smart decisions, and he's getting to his check downs quick and decisive. So he's understanding the play that way. So, I mean, I would give Ben a lot of credit for the reason he's getting the ball out of his hands so quick. They showed you saw the cool little clip Chris Collinsworth, my boss, showed yesterday during the game. It was against the Cowboys, how he's like, you know, scrambling in the pocket for like 8 seconds before he threw Heath Miller a touchdown. And now you see how quick he's getting the ball out of his hands. He understands the game, and he understands he could be successful that way.
I think Collinsworth, when he made those comments, was probably talking about like your Aunt Denise and your mom. I really think that, Bruce. I think I think he knows the football acumen of the women in your family. Yeah, the ladies in your family.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, did you take it that he was saying something wrong at the time?
No, I didn't. My mother-in-law and my wife were honored by those comments. Actually, I know how other people could take him the wrong way, but I could just tell you in the Filippone household last night when I told them, they're like, "Yeah, he's right. We do know more about football than women in other cities."
Yeah, I mean, that's tough, man, because, of course, I know the guy, so I know he's not trying to come off a certain
way. Yeah, he doesn't want to sound sexist. He's trying to talk up the fan base here is what he was, I think, trying to do.
He has a lot of appreciation for the Steeler fan base. We've talked about it before, you know, and Pittsburgh's a special city, man. There's, you know, football, it makes – you guys are having a good day today. The families in Pittsburgh are having a good day today because the Steelers won. I mean, that's how much, like, the Penguins, the Steelers, the Pirates, that's how much the sports teams mean to the community, to the city, and it's cool to be a part of. So I just thought he definitely didn't mean it that way to offend anyone.
We still got time or what?
If you got one more, Mulsey, fire away.
No, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Hey, Bruce.
I don't know. I wait for your cues here, Pony. I'm on my little island. I'm on the Mueller Peninsula.
I know. We're not in the same studio together, which makes it tough. But Bruce has got a nice home studio, too, and I see it on TV now, and there's a Raiders helmet behind him, and there's a Steelers helmet. I don't see a Bengals or Browns helmet, but that's okay.
Maybe. I got the Bengals and the Bucks here. I got my bobblehead up there.
Nice. The bald bobblehead?
Hey, Bruce, by the way, I do have a question. You said Collinsworth loves Steelers fans. Does he have any idea how much Steelers fans seem to hate him? is he aware that, like, people bitch about him constantly? They're like, oh, Chris Collinsworth, he never says anything nice about the Steelers.
I'm sure he's aware of that. I'm sure we have some PFF data somewhere that kind of gives him information on fan bases. But
fair enough.
No, he, you know, look, he played the game for a while, and he knows. I mean, he knows football. So it's unfortunate that, you know, mm-hmm. it could be taken out of context. And I mean, you can't remotely say something that is questionable.
Yeah. All right, Bruce. Well, we'll talk again next week. Okay, buddy.
Yeah. All right, guys.
There you go.
Have a good week.
You bet. Bruce Gradkowski.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.